You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adore Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. So up there in Fairfield, Connecticut, at the studios of WSHU, Dan Gross, you're still with us, right?
I'm here, yeah.
Have you checked your 401k recently?
Yes.
Yeah, how's it looking?
It's not bad. You know, we're
count your
we
blessings.
Had the Washington Post company, and you know, some of that Warren Buffett is very influential there, and so some of the money is essentially managed by Berkshire Hathaway.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of seconds, though, and I want you to make doubly sure that your pension or any of your investments aren't involved in the Madoff scandal, all right? And then I'm going to come back to you, all right? You going to do that for me, Dan?
Yep.
Meanwhile, Barack Obama is going to announce his Secretary of Education today. What do you think the Secretary of Education needs to start fixing on day one? That's what we're asking you.
As a teacher at a local high school, the use of cell phones during class is extremely disruptive, and it's really interfering with the educational process.
You have the new Secretary of Education, who's expected to be Arne Duncan, a 7-year veteran of the Chicago Public Schools. Your help, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. So yesterday, in talking about the Madoff scandal on Wall Street, we talked with Diana Henriquez, a senior financial writer for the New York Times, and she had this very disturbing thing to say.
There are people who were pretty wealthy people Wednesday morning and on Thursday morning were broke. I mean, it's the kind of thing that echoes of the 1929 crash that you read about in history.
Bob Chu, president and founder of PFI Communications, on the line from Montrose, Colorado. You there?
Yes, I am.
You're feeling that echo, aren't you?
Yes, I'm one of those people.
And when you say one of those people, literally, you lost everything and you learned about it last Thursday morning?
We learned about it Thursday night, and we haven't lost everything, but we've lost a substantial portion of our financial life.
And, you know, I don't want to—I mean, I was raised a Protestant, so it's hard for me to even ask about money, but, you know, how much are we talking here?
We lost $1.2 million on paper.
Whoa. Now— how do you even go about responding to something like that? I mean, are you calling lawyers? Or are you looking at your Social Security? What happens in a situation like that?
Well, you go numb first. You really don't know what to do. You know, we've been in a fog for the last, you know, 3 or 4 days, and just trying to figure out, you know, where we are financially. That's number one. And then number two, yes, you try to get some information. You get lawyers. You look around and find out SIPC's offering some help, they say. And you basically have to wait and see. This thing is just really breaking now, and nobody really knows where to go. That's one of the problems.
Now, one of the features of this scandal, and I want you to kind of take my hand and help me explore it with you, is that, you know, from what we understand, the Madoff operation was an invitation-only kind of deal where people were invited in, well-heeled investors down in Florida, other people that he knew, including some well-known names that are now being revealed. But in your case, your fund invested in his fund, so you were a couple of steps removed from Madoff. Did you even know who this guy was?
No, never heard the name. We were about three levels down. There are subgroups that then monies are you are invited into a subgroup. The monies go to that subgroup. The subgroup then funnels the money up to another group that's just under apparently the Madoff organization. We never got past that one subgroup, if you will, and so it was always just the New York people. And that was something that we just had to kind of trust in, and it had been going for 40 years, and we had family members that had been in it since the late 1960s. So you just kind of went with the flow. It's been going on for so long, and it was so good that you just said, okay, let's give it a shot, you know, and it paid off. It paid off year after year after year after year.
Well, I want to talk about those balances and those returns that you were getting and just how alluring they were. But Dan Gross, you're still with us, right?
I'm here, yes.
You know why I told you to count your blessings, don't you?
Well, yes, I'm glad I'm not eligible to invest in some of these funds of hedge funds that put all their money with the Madoff operation.
Do you have a question for Bob Chu?
Well, I guess two questions. Were you a direct investor, or were you in a kind of fund of funds that then went into him?
I suppose you could call it a fund of funds, in that it goes into a partnership, and that partnership then gives the money to another partnership higher up the line, and then that partnership deals directly with Madoff.
Okay. And was this partnership supposed to be diversifying and choosing among different managers, or was it the explicitly saying you invest in this partnership and you go into Madoff's funds?
You have no choice. It just goes. Okay. It just goes into the big pile, and you hope that it works out.
And they're the geniuses, right? They're all the geniuses.
And Robert, you've been terribly blunt in saying that you and your wife were essentially living off the interest, and you got lazy. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, no, I have a business, and I have clients, and so we weren't living completely off the interest, although we have relatives that were. And I think what happens is when you get into a situation like this and the money seems easy, you kind of, you don't have to work quite as hard. And I guess that's the great lesson we all can take away from this. And so, when extra travel or trips or furniture, whatever it might be, say, hey, let's dip into our fund a little bit and pay for it that way. And so you kind of get used to that, and you get a little lazy, and you don't work as hard as maybe as you should, and that's a mistake.
So, Bob, over the years, you took money out or were able to make withdrawals or get income from this.
Yes. The way it works is you have a chance to get quarterly disbursements, and so you put in your request for disbursements each quarter, and they came.
And it's a cash kind of a cash machine. Well, Dan, we're going to have to say goodbye to you in this segment. Robert, just before we go, how much percentage rate returns are we talking about annualized over the time you were with Madoff?
15%.
Wow. Bob Chu, thanks so much for being with us and sharing your story. He's the president and founder of PFI Communications. Last Thursday night, he discovered he was a Madoff investor who learned that he and his wife lost more than $1 million. Dan Gross, as always, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
Senior editor with Newsweek in Fairfield, Connecticut.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.